So we're just here at the Combined Order Weekend in Adishtana. My name is Sudhaya Sihi, and the theme of this weekend has been Padmasambhava in the world. So we've been hearing a little bit about pioneering, particularly in terms of outreach groups. So that's been very interesting. But now I'm here with Dai Jyoti, who's doing a different kind of pioneering, and she's involved in setting up something called the Tara Sanctuary. So I was wondering if you could just say a bit about what that is.
Yes, yeah. So the full name is Tara Sanctuary and Natural Burial Ground.
Oh.
And we're established as a charity. And the idea is to find land and to set up a natural burial ground. And that will be for anyone, not just for Buddhists, for people of any faith or no faith. And the hope is that there can also be retreats, perhaps connected to burials at times. So one of the great things about natural burial grounds is that there's the opportunity to really have plenty of time for a burial and a funeral.
So can I just ask, what do you mean by natural burial?
Okay, so this is a relatively new thing. It's part of the whole sort of natural death mm-hmm. movement, which includes hospices, death cafes,
mm-hmm.
you know, bringing a new relationship to death.
Mm. Which I've is never very, heard of a death cafe.
Yeah, a death cafe is where you drink tea, mm-hmm. eat cake, and talk about death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty intense.
Yeah. And they're springing up all over the place. Mm-hmm. I think there's one held monthly at West London Buddhist Centre, for instance.
Okay,
but it's something that's grown up outside the Buddhist movement, but something, mm-hmm. this whole natural death movement really is something that, as Dhammadina put it, makes sense for us to align ourselves with as Buddhists.
Yeah. Have you been to a death cafe then?
I have, well, yes. Right. And we actually had one at Bristol Buddhist Centre. We had a one-man show by Vidyadhara called mm-hmm. Dead Happy, and then we also had a death cafe. But to come back to your question about natural burial,
mm-hmm.
It's got a number of components, really. So one of the main things is that rather than having a traditional burial ground where you have gravestones and so on, the idea is to leave very little trace.
Mm.
So you have grave markers. If you do have them, you have ones that are biodegradable, that are wooden, that will go back into the earth. And you have coffins that will be biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of different kinds of those now. And you bury the body less deeply, so okay. that it decomposes more quickly. And you're also creating habitat, either a woodland habitat usually or a wildflower meadow habitat. So you're creating new life really through the burial.
A bit more in touch with the cycle of nature, really.
Exactly, yeah.
I've heard of things where people plant a tree with the person that's been buried. Is that the kind of idea as well?
Yeah, that's one model, mm-hmm. although there are some difficulties with that model, actually, because the way that you would normally develop new woodland mm-hmm. is you plant a load of trees quite closely together, and then you thin some out as they grow up so that there's room for some of them to really grow big. One of the ideas we've been thinking of is to have woodland pasture,
mm-hmm.
Where you have a wildflower meadow and then some really large trees in the middle of that, like you get in parkland.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you'd have a number of graves around a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be that you've got one tree
typically
marking
right.
per person, that's right.
When you say we, so who's involved in this project? Is it yourself and
there's a number of people, some of them in Bristol,
mm-hmm.
Pranyamati, Annie Johnson and Kat Dixon, mm-hmm. Ryan. We've got people with a number of skills, so we've got people who have been interested in death coming from a counselling background. We've got someone who's an organic gardener, and so she's really interested in the land side of things. She's done landscape design.
Mm-hmm.
Got Vajradarshini, mm-hmm. who's going to hopefully become involved perhaps as a trustee.
Mm.
She's got skills in web design. She's also done funerals. We've got Ryan James, who's an expert in marketing and branding. So we've got a number of people.
It's quite a diverse skills range.
Yeah. Part of why this feels like a really good livelihood, but it's livelihood, is because it's taking this very central theme of death and dying, which is so much something that we're encouraged as Buddhist practitioners throughout the ages. We've been encouraged to immerse deeply in that, to allow that to become a reality, to bring that close, that reality.
I suppose death in a way is the best way of reflecting on impermanence, or at least the strongest way of reflecting on it, because it's so final.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And you've got the tradition going back, people meditating in burial grounds, in charnel grounds. Yeah. So we're kind of linking in with that tradition.
Do you see that will be something that the sanctuary would be offering people a chance to meditate in the cremation ground, if you like?
Absolutely, yeah. I've thought that at some point there'll be this opportunity to come spend time, perhaps do a retreat somewhere where people are buried, maybe people you know are buried, and that's going to be quite a strong, powerful thing.
Perhaps not with skulls littered about the place, but...
not quite like that, as in olden times, but... Yeah. And I think in terms of the reflection on impermanence that you were talking about, I think the burial ground will offer both that reflection, the possibility of reflecting on death, but also a connection with the cycle of nature that you mentioned, you know, seeing the land developing and changing, and that's something that's very strong in the Buddhafield context where we practice in nature. You're seeing that constant change, those cycles.
It's also quite healing, isn't it, if you just experienced a bereavement, to see that although there's death, there's also life.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. That's one of the elements that it is a healing environment. Nature is in itself a healing environment. Yeah.
Which I suppose taps into the fact that you've called it a sanctuary, you know, and not just a burial ground.
Yes, absolutely.
And so at the moment what the project is at the stage of searching for land.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And how much land are you looking for, ideally?
It'll be something between 5 and 20 acres.
Mm-hmm. And is that doable in terms of looking for it near Bristol? Do you think it'll be easy to find?
Well, we have actually been looking for a while. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, and it's not been easy. Number of reasons. There are quite a lot of sort of environmental requirements. If you're to get planning permission, it's a cemetery.
Okay.
So things like groundwater protection zones, being near watercourses that are feeding into water supplies, things like that. Mm-hmm. And the access has to be right as well. And obviously we want somewhere that's got a really beautiful feel to it, ideally a good view, quiet enough, and yet good enough access. So those two things conflict a bit.
Was there anything else you'd like to say about the project, or any other aspects of it?
Well, perhaps, a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have felt the project can do is really create deep connection. Mm-hmm. And that's come from a community, really.
Yeah.
And that's come from my own experience of working with Buddhafield and seeing how connection with land is very strong. People connect around land, especially when you're caring for the land. Developing piece of land. And also death can be very connecting.
Yes.
That's been my experience with my parents and with others, you know, funerals I've been to, both within the Buddhist Sangha and outside that.
Yeah.
At best, it can be a time when you really connect with what most matters, connect with your love for people. Yeah, that connects you with others who feel that love.
Yeah.
So I think you put those things together, connection through death and connection through land, and it's a powerful combination.
And the name, the Tara Sanctuary,
yes.
Where did that emerge from?
Well, those of us who were involved played around with various different options. But there was the idea that it's not just a burial ground. Mm-hmm. It's a place of sanctuary. It's a place where there will be retreats, probably either linked to burials, but also they could be picking up on the theme of death and dying and independent of particular burials. And also a place where people can come and meditate and reflect and a place of beauty, so broader than that particular function of being a burial ground. So that was the idea of the sanctuary.
And you weren't tempted to call it the Padmasambhava sanctuary?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Tara, Tara, I mean, there's the connection with the land there. Tara, but also Tara is she who ferries across, apparently. So she who helps make that transition and the link with compassion, because that was part of the inspiration as well, that knowing, having gone through that experience of my parents dying, at just really seeing how incredibly vulnerable you are at that time and how the way that people are with you it just matters so much. So it's really a time when compassion is needed. Yeah, also a time when you're very open, I think.
Probably things become very real and the unnecessary things fall away.
Exactly, but you're open to these bigger questions of what life is about. And so, yeah, there's an opening there. I think for a while I've also been really interested in the possibility of new livelihoods, new right livelihoods. So not just the opportunity to work with others as a practice and work in a way that's in line with the precepts, but also to do activities which are in themselves really in accordance with the Dharma. And this seems to me an obvious one. And I mean, there are quite a few people now within the movement who are working in this area.
There's probably a network of people who've already got experience that you could draw on or even be involved in this project more directly.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think there is a network yet, but yes. I was talking to someone yesterday, actually, Sachi Mega, who works as a hospice chaplain. And then there's others who, Debbie Jones, funeral celebrant, Dasani apparently also. So there is the potential there, I think, for a bit of a network.
So in your next phase, which I presume is looking for land, is there anything you'd like, Adam, to ask of the wider movement, any way that you could be supported in that?
We may need more money. Okay. Well, we've got a substantial donation, but we may need more money, depending on what comes up. We will then have costs in terms of establishing the site and setting up infrastructure. So money, welcome. Okay. But yes, if anyone has any contacts, anybody they know of who owns a farm the area we're looking at is within 45 minutes drive of Bristol.
Bristol.
Okay. Yeah. We were thinking of actually offering a kind of bounty or something. £1,000 for anybody who finds a suitable piece of land. We haven't sort of agreed that yet, but I think that could be a good idea, actually. Yeah. If anybody was interested in helping us look for land, then we've got quite a list of criteria. We've got all of that information. So,
is that on your website?
It isn't actually on the website. Okay. It might be good to put it up there.
Okay.
But if they contact us, tarasanctuary@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Dai Jyoti, for that. It's a very interesting project, and best of luck with finding land and then establishing. It sounds like a really worthwhile project.
Yeah. Thank you very much.